Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Crafting Delaware's 2016 budget is center stage as the end of this year's work in the General Assembly looms on June 30th. Monday, lawmakers got a little bit of help from the Delaware Economic and Financial Advisory Council, or DFAC, which added about $33 million to the state's bottom line in its latest revenue estimate. But that still leaves a hole to fill, about $30 million, and negotiations between Republican and Democratic leadership is bogged down. Here to give us the additional perspective on this issue, the budget, and others at Legislative Hall is our political reporter, James Dawson. James, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, Tom.
Well, let's start with the budget. How significant is the impasse between the two sides of the aisle? Is it pretty serious, or is there maybe a little posturing going on here?
Well, I think it's pretty significant. You're right that there is an element of posturing here, but Republicans are making a calculated move. The fact that the group of leaders are negotiating again is a great sign, but they still haven't moved from their original position. The olive branch that Democrats extended to them a few months ago regarding raising the caps on prevailing wage isn't enough for them. At least their stated position is they want prevailing wage for public projects to kick in at $500,000, regardless of whether it's new construction or renovation work, and that's significantly more than what's been offered, which was already much higher than the current rates are. So Republicans have said repeatedly that they do want to get something done on the infrastructure side, but now that they have their first real power in the legislature since Democrats took control of the House and, by extension, both chambers in 2008, they're leaning extremely hard on their one-vote advantage in the Senate when it comes to breaking a supermajority that's needed to pass any sort of legislation like this. Again, this is a calculated move that I think is foreshadowing what we'll see in the 2016 general election when the GOP says they held the line on taxes to try and regain even more power.
And amid all these negotiations, legislation to create new tax brackets for wealthier Delawareans was introduced and it cleared a House committee. Clearly, this would help the revenue equation in terms of numbers, but does it have legs? Does it have the kind of support? And is this something that might just be kind of annoying Republicans?
I mean, it's definitely going to help on the revenue side, that's for sure. But it's harder to divine exactly what the future might bring for these bills because one of them did get passed out of committee with Republican votes. That version of the proposal is fairly nuanced, but includes a small tax break across the board while still adding those new brackets. Republicans in the Senate I've talked to, though, have called it a non-starter. And really, that's the chamber that has all the decision-making power right now.
Also this week, marijuana decriminalization passed and signed by the governor. How significant an accomplishment is this for Democrats to get this through?
It's very significant because it shows that Democrats, especially in the House, can still unify under something that's still pretty controversial in this state, at least among lawmakers. I mean, a University of Delaware poll last year did find that 58% of state residents approve of full legalization of marijuana and not just decriminalization. And that unity is going to be important since the budget negotiations are continuing, and especially with more conservative Democrats who might feel threatened by taking those sorts of votes with an election next year.
And obviously, this was something that was not supported by much of law enforcement, if any. So that's also a pretty significant hurdle to get past, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Law enforcement is a significant lobbying force in this state, especially when you have state lawmakers who either were law enforcement officers themselves or maybe their family members are. Those ties run very deep in the General Assembly.
Let's talk about the battle over opt-out. That continued this week. The bill passed the Senate, but with amendments that could possibly derail it. What's going on there?
So this is a tricky one. The opt-out bill passed overwhelmingly in the House, and it would allow parents to excuse their kids from taking the Smarter Balanced Assessment. And it was narrowly tailored to only affect this very controversial test, which is based on the Common Core State Standards. But those backing the bill will tell you it's not specifically about this test. But after senators amended the bill this week to include any required state or district-wide test, supporters are really incensed. They're calling this a bill killer, and they aren't sure what they're going to do going forward. It needs to be passed in its current form to be sent to the governor's desk, who is very much opposed to it, to say it lightly. We should find out more on this next week.
I say the timing is important, too, because even if they can get it through the House with the amendments in some way, there may not be time, if the governor does decide to veto it, to do anything about it in this particular work year. to override that veto.
That's right. Yeah, and he does have a few legislative days to decide whether or not he will veto it or whether he'll let it go into law without his signature. So this could be a little bit of a prolonged thing.
We might see it over the summer. And the fate of the gray fox still not completely settled in this state.
No, not quite. So senators this week worked a compromise between rural and urban interests, and it's kind of a strange workaround. So anyone living below the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal would not get charged for accidentally trapping a gray fox during certain times of the year. But above the canal, it would still be illegal at all times. It was put on this past Thursday's House agenda, but they decided not to debate this issue immediately. So that's still kind of hanging in the air.
We'll keep an eye on it in the coming week. Anything else worth noting this week as we're looking ahead to the final stretch run?
Yeah, absolutely. So another bill would reduce the look-back period state auditors can use when analyzing a company's books in regards to abandoned property. And this is a huge revenue generator for Delaware. It takes into account things like unused money on gift cards or money in savings accounts, for instance, that have sat dormant for several years. Because Delaware is a huge incorporation hub, they get a lot of cash from this. Just taking a look at the current fiscal year, they have earned just under $475 million, but in the past it's gone upwards of $600 million. This bill passed the Senate unanimously without any questions Thursday. So businesses would only be subject to a 22-year audit instead of now they can kind of go back into the 80s and maybe even beyond if they find violations. And these businesses could also, under the bill, all voluntarily disclose that money that they weren't lawfully paying to the state to avoid these penalties. So that's now headed to the House.
All right. James Dawson, thanks for your perspective.
Thank you.
You can follow James's coverage of the General Assembly in his legislative update during Morning Edition and All Things Considered, and of course anytime online at DelawarePublic.org.